Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Man, it seems like it's been a long time since we've been back on the WrestleBoss scene, but for the people listeners, you're here, you're at WrestleBoss Live. Don't forget, you can go to WrestleBossLive.com to check out some of the archived episodes and stuff like that, but I know it's been a while, and God bless Greg DeMarco and Kevin Kleinrock for being so patient or whatever, because it's had so much going on, I haven't been able to. But since they had the big Abu Dhabi Combat Club grappling tournament, which comes, I believe, once every 3 years, which is the epitome of grappling, I mean, that's where everybody wants to be, and you want that Abu Dhabi championship belt under your, you know, in your possession to be one of the best. So I follow a lot of that on social media, Flow Grappling, stuff like that, and Gordon Ryan has just been running through people. It's just amazing what he's done. So got to check a lot of that. I was live in Las Vegas last week, week before last, and a lot to talk about. So much went on. Kei Ruotolo became the first youngest grappling champion. Just a lot of stuff went on. So got John Thomas coming on. He's going to come on at about the 15-minute mark. As you know, he was our guest of the year on WrestleBoss, grappling MMA guest. So I'm going to get him on, talk a little bit about that. He's been, you know, getting back into the grappling scene, getting in shape. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that and talk a little bit about the Abu Dhabi Combat Club with him. Then at about the 45-minute mark, Scott Nelson's going to be on. I know you, for the people who are new and maybe you haven't heard, but I worked for him for 7 years at On the Mat, and he's the one who took us under his wing after we left Tap Out and left Sinister with Ed Suarez. So he was actually there at the competition. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about like that, what it's like to be there. Like even the Gracie brothers say how that is like the Olympics of wrestling. It's or of grappling. It's, you know, it only comes once every 3 years. So, you know, it's just like, you know, Olympics come around every 4 years. So it's just a lot, like the epitome, like that's where you want to be. Sergio and I have been checking that out for a long time since we got into the grappling game a few years back with Tap Out, and got to check out a couple of the Abu Dhabis way back in the day. It was so different. It was just completely different as far as now people have trainers and they have strength and conditioning coaches and stuff like that. So I'm going to talk to Scotty a little bit about that, see what's happening new with On the Mat. So we'll get with him to talk a little bit about that and so much more. So I'm going to go ahead and take the big commercial now so that we can – hold on, let me bring that up a little bit – so that we can get them on here and talk to them all about that. So I'm going to take the big commercial right now so everybody listen up to that, and we'll be back with John Thomas. Hang on, everybody.
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch your favorite shows each week or when to try a new one. We've got a brand new video series kicking off this Sunday as photographer Jerry Villagrana debuts Photo Versus exclusively on the Lucha Central Facebook page. On each episode, Jerry and a fellow photographer go mano a mano comparing and sharing stories behind some of their most memorable photos. This week, Jerry welcomed Josh Garcia of Rudo's Photo as they explored shots of Rey Mysterio. And this coming Sunday, Black Terry Jr. joins the show and he and Jerry share photos of their favorite lucha dives. Don't miss the show. Sundays at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, only at Facebook.com/LuchaCentral. Monday, it's an elite episode of Business of the Business as Kevin welcomes the man behind the new AEW action figure line, Jeremy Hadauer, to the show to talk about writing letters to 1,000 famous people as a kid, getting into the toy business, creating the Jack WWF classic line, his recent record breaking Pokemon card purchase, and, of course, the launch of AEW Figures and Collectibles line. On Tuesday, Mass, and Mayhem gets a visit from El Inframundo when AAA and Lucha Underground star Drago stops by. Plus, the gang chops it up about the possibility of Mil Muertes in AEW, former Lucha Underground stars that are making waves, new additions to the Walls of Fame and Shame, and much more. Check out the premiere video stream every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Lucha Central YouTube channel and at luchacentral.com. Then listen to it on your favorite podcast platform every Wednesday. This Tuesday night, live on WrestleBossLive.com, Bobby Chulo is back with Lucha Underground and Lucha Vavoom's Mariachi Loco and the Crash Lucha Libre's Mecha Wolf. Call in live to ask questions Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific or download the show on podcast platforms on Wednesdays. Wednesday nights live on Facebook, it's Spanish show La Mesa de los Margaros, giving you both the news and the chisme from around the lucha world. Special guests and a whole lot of fun make it one of the most talked about shows in Mexico. Find the video version on Facebook Wednesday through Friday, and then Saturdays download the audio version in podcast form. Thursdays, it's Straight Out of the Bodega with Papo Esco and PWR promoter Gabriel Ramirez. This week, Los Angeles Misterioso pulls up to talk shop about his start in Lucha Libre, controversy surrounding the Misterioso name, and his rise to the independent scene, including international trips to Mexico, China, and Japan for Dragon Gate, plus working for New Japan here in the U.S. On Friday, it's your double dose of Lucha Central weekly podcast, one in English y el otro en español. Lucha Central Weekly is where you'll find all the top stories of the week, both inside and out of the ring from Mexico and anywhere luchadores are in action across the globe. This week, both shows take a look back at Grand Metalik's biggest WWE match to date as he took on AJ Styles last Friday night on SmackDown. Plus, Lucha Times' latest news, including their alliance with DTU. Catch up on the top stories of the entire week in Lucha Libre in just 90 minutes. Be sure to subscribe and follow all your favorite Lucha Central Network series on your favorite podcast platform. And please be sure to give a rating and review to help more fans find the shows that you love. For now, this is Denise Salcedo signing off from Lucha Central Central. Have a great week.
Lucha-Mask.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution. Bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Mask.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-mask.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Let's give John Thomas a call, get some of his thoughts. I want to get the commercials all in and set so that we can talk, because there's going to be a lot to talk about with both John and Scotty Nelson. So make sure we get them on the phone real quick, even though it's been forever since we've been on the air. Sorry about that, Kevin.
Hello, hello.
Hey, John, it's Fabiano. You're live on WrestleBoss. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clear.
Thank goodness. I couldn't go direct or whatever. I had to go old school and use the house phone because I don't know what the problem is or whatever. I know Kevin doesn't like us to talk about that stuff, but the last couple times it was like, hello, they could hear me, but I couldn't hear them. But we made it for the people listeners who are here. You're live on WrestleBoss. Live with Bobby Chulo. It's just me, no Michael Parks today. He's doing security in San Francisco for some metal group or something like that. So it's just me. But on the line with us right now, John Thomas. John, I got to tell you, man, when things, you know, happen in the grappling world or jiu-jitsu or whatever, I always refer to John because he's somebody that I've – for lack of a better term, work so close with, you know, and stuff like that, and that's who I like to go to. But before we get into the Abu Dhabis, because I got to tell you, man, now that it's passed and I've seen what a spectacle that it is, I really wish that I would have went. I kind of blew it off or whatever. I thought, oh, I'll check out the highlights or whatever. But, you know, when Scott Nelson, the proprietor from On the Mat, leaves Mexico to come down to Vegas to come and check it out, you know, it's got to be huge. So I want to talk a little bit about that. There's a ton of questions that I have for you. But before we get into that, Talk a little bit about yourself. I mean, you know, I follow John on Facebook and all his social media, and you've been doing a lot of training. And I see, I said, man, he's getting in shape, man. He looks like he's ready to go. Are you training? Well, first of all, before we went on air, Nicolette goes, hey, you know, he needs a medium shirt now or whatever. I said, who, John Thomas? She says, yeah, he's in a medium? And she's like, yeah. I said, well, damn, he must really be doing some training or whatever. So that's on the way for you. I think she even has it ready. But talk a little bit about that, man. It looks like you're getting ready. You got something in the works, or what's happening?
Yeah, you know what? I got into personal training, and it's been going really well. So I'm picking up an echo. Do you hear echo by the chat?
Yeah, just a little bit. Sorry about that. Okay, hopefully that'll take care of it.
Yeah, let me double check. Mic check. Okay, that's all.
That sounds
pretty
good. Perfect.
So, yeah, I started doing personal training, so I started getting in real shape. I'm like 165 now in the morning, opposed to like 205 during the pandemic. So I'm looking forward to competing. I'm going to try to make a cut to 155.
Huh. And there's so much going on right now. Is it like who's number one, fight to win? Nicolette and I worked a show last weekend, and they had the combat jiu-jitsu, and you know, you don't expect it. The guy, you know, kind of he got put on the ground, and he put the guy in his guard, but it seems like you kind of might forget, because all of a sudden, bacatelas, he hit him with two open hands, and I was like, dude, you kind of forget, you know, that you can hit with the open palm or whatever. So what are you looking towards?
Yeah, I'm hoping I can get on to another fight to win show next time they're closed. But you're right about that, the combat jiu-jitsu. I watched one of them live in L.A. right before the pandemic. And it's like the guys are flowing, they're going, they're chilling, and next you know someone cocks back and slaps a guy. And it's just the whole crowd goes wild. It echoes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing, because it was two fights with that and then the regular, you know, MMA or whatever. But it was funny, because as soon as he went down, had him in his guard, he was starting to look for a submission. And then before you knew it, bam, the dude hit him twice with the open palm. And it totally changed his whole thing. He just pulled him back, pulled the head down, and, you know, started to maneuver for something else to close that distance or whatever. So, well, that's cool. And we've talked about that so much on this show, about there's so many different ones that you can enter now, which is really cool. But, you know, which has been this way for a long time, the epitome of grappling has to be Abu Dhabi. And it was funny, because I'm going to say 6 years ago, because it happens once every 3 years or whatever. And I was doing a show, and I can't remember who I had on, and I was like, is the Abu Dhabi still relevant or whatever? Because it kind of, I don't want to say faded, but it kind of wasn't as popular. So do you think all this is because of Gordon Ryan? I mean, he's brought it to another level that people are like, dude, this crap is for real, man. We got to go check it out. You think that's just because of him? I mean, not just him alone, but, I mean, he's got to be a big part of it, right?
It's always been huge, in my opinion, even back in, like, 2005, even, like, 2019. And then Galval versus Pena, the previous one, was really big. But no matter where Gordon goes, man, there's going to always be hype behind him. I think he's, you know, the best thing to happen to grappling right now. I will always say I don't care for his character too much, but what this guy's doing for us and grapplers and grappling in general, he's going to always be a big sale. And anybody that's doing any kind of show, if they can have him on his show, they better, because he's just money. He's like the Floyd Mayweather of grappling.
Yeah, and, you know, and it was so much that was leading up to it, because that was a big thing. Everybody was waiting for Galvao and Gordon Ryan to do the super fight, because Galvao had won the last, I don't know, three or four super fights or whatever. And he, I guess he had challenged him before, and I don't know what happened. It didn't come about. And, you know, Gordon was like, dude, he knows that's going to be it for him, because I'm going to get him, and it's not a matter of what I'm going to get him in, it's when I get him, or, you know, whatever. He just really went on the rampage, and then, you know, they went after each other and slapped each other, blah, 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 whatever. But what I got, the most emails and the most messages and stuff like that, was, dude, both of them have to be on the sauce. I have never seen jiu-jitsu players look like that. And when you look at Gordon, he put some size on the guy. I've always been a big dude, but he even looked bigger than before. Now, before I tell you, you know, because I've had Seth Daniels on the show and what we talked about or whatever, do you kind of see that, or do you think, you know, because now people have personal trainers, they have a strength and conditioning coaches or whatever, but go ahead.
So I'm heavy into the workout. You can probably see my before and after picture. And I'm natural. Someone recently asked me with my output, you know, am I on something? But no, I'm not. But I'm telling you, easily 75% of grappling is on the juice, man. I've competed against someone recently, and I walked through this guy our first competition. This second match, this guy was 10 pounds lighter than me, and he felt like 5 times stronger than me. You know, it's just, it just wasn't natural. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to take anything away from him, but when you look at his body fat, you look at his energy, you think about the age he is. I have a buddy that reached out to me recently and was like, you ever thought about TRT? And I'm like, no, I don't feel like I need it right now. But if you have a medical insurance, you can go to a doctor at 30, 32, 33, and you can already start getting it. So, yeah, man, no doubt about it. These guys are on the juice. No question at all.
It's funny that you say that, because when we first moved over to On the Mat, and it was a long time ago, is when Extreme Couture first opened. We went to the grand opening or whatever, and it was off the record because we were just talking to Randy because he got there late. And Randy Couture was saying, dude, you know, aren't you allowed to get old? He goes, you know, everybody's got to age or whatever out of this TRT treatment or whatever. He goes, I get it. He goes, but, you know, people get old or whatever. You're just prolonging or whatever. So he was totally against it or whatever. But when you say TRT, I remember him talking specifically about that. But, you know, I had Seth Daniels on this show. And first of all, we were talking about just what it takes to put something on and what he has to go through and the people he has working for him, you know, because he was making strides to make, you know, grappling up there to where it is. And he straight out on this show said, dude, you can come and you can be on whatever you want. He said, because I have to even the playing field. He goes, because if I say no, you cannot be on any performance-enhancing drugs. The guys in Brazil who can buy it over the counter or take it legally or Mexico, they're coming all juiced up, and they're going against these guys that are natural. You know, he said, so on this specific one, take whatever you want. I don't care. We're not testing because I want to have an even playing field. So when he said that, I thought, well, maybe he's got something there, because if these guys are on it, why do they get the advantage? Why shouldn't you, you know, do it yourself to be on an even playing field? You kind of feel that, or do you think, no, man, we should test, and these guys, if they're on sauce, get them out? But then, of course, there might be some ways around it, right?
See, yeah, I wish it could be fair, man, because like I said, I'm not doing it. You know, I've been working my ass off. And the one thing that gets me, man, honestly, is the recovery. I'm 38 now. I just turned 38. 37. I lost count. That's not important. But my recovery isn't the same anymore. Even eating the right stuff and doing everything right, I don't recover the same. So I wish they could find a way out of it. But just like MMA, I think GSP even said it one time, too, that they pay big money to be able to hide it. And if you got the money, you can hide it. So it's unfortunate, man, but I don't think there's anything they're going to be able to do to keep it clean. You know, it's just anything that's competitive, people are going to find a way to cheat.
But so the question I have for you is, you think that that's the answer? You know, go ahead, we're not testing, so if you want to, you can, so that it's an even playing field?
My honest opinion, no. I think you should at least try to test and weed it out. But I think his mentality is they're going to do it anyway, regardless. They're going to do it. They're going to be able to hide it. So why not just let everybody do it that want to do it, you know? But for all these guys, man, that stuff all comes with side effects. You know, I'm not being funny, but majority of all pro wrestlers have passed away 9 times out of 10 is because of a heart attack. And I'm telling you, I can assure you it traces back to steroid usage. I'm almost positive of it.
Yeah. And I think they start to see what it does for them, and they want to just keep going more and more. And then before you know it, somebody explained it to me. It's like a glass. If you pour water into it and it gets full, whatever, if you keep pouring, whatever comes out is all bad for you, you know, so that's what kind of happens to the body. But honestly, not that I'm this great person or whatever, but I just turned 57 in August, and they had one of those body composition contests or whatever with NutriShop, because it's in with the 24-hour fitness. So I did it, and the guy that I was working with, he had me cut the weight in half and, you know, put a whole different program. Like you said, diet's got a lot to do with it, and a huge difference. I mean, it was just a huge difference. I think everybody thinks that they go, the heavier that they go, you know, the more the stronger they're going to be and whatever. But when you get to a certain age, you know, you cut it back, and I'm much better now than I was before. But I'll be honest with you. I went back to training, and I went to Del O's, and I got on the mats, and it was I've been on the treadmill, you know, really working out for six straight weeks. But, you know, treadmill, ani madre way. When you get on those mats and you're sparring or whatever, I mean, it's a totally different ball game. I mean, we went 2 5-minute rounds, and there was two more to go. I can't remember for sure, but I said, I'll be right back, and I started to go outside, and Dello knew, because you're getting ready to go throw up. I'm like, no, I'm okay. In the pushes, man, because it's just a totally, it's different. What's the word I'm looking for? I mean, you know, it's not the same. You can be on the treadmill all day, but when you get on that mat, it's a totally different story, right?
Yeah, if you want something to closely resemble jiu-jitsu cardio, it has to be high-intensity circuit training where you're getting the heart rate sky high, you're letting it come down, and then you sky high and come down. And see, the thing about jiu-jitsu is if you go against someone better than you and they're controlling the pace and they're cruising and you're trying everything you can to get them off you, it's just a ticking time bomb. That's what Gordon is doing to all these guys. You can't stop him from getting the top position. And then once you get on top, he just sucks the life out of guys. And DeVal knew that if he got on top, he knew where that fight was going to go. Anybody who knows jiu-jitsu knows that there's nothing he'll be able to do to get Gordon off of him. And he says in a post-interview, like, man, the guy's strong, just so you guys know. You know, not to mention, Gordon's no slouch, man. You combine his technique, steroids, his strength and conditioning, like, he's doing everything he can, you know. And I take my hat off to him, regardless of whether he takes steroids or not. The way he plays his game, and he executes stuff from everywhere, man, you know. You can't take anything away from him.
Yeah, but to get Galvao in – you know, the figure four and with his arm in, you know what I mean? He had the arm trapped as well. So you know, a lot of times you can go 2-on-1 and try to get that hand off, but he had one hand. That was it. No legs and one arm pinned, you know? So what do you do? Do you just try to wait it out and try to, when he kind of lets up a little bit, try to turn into it or is it just, that's it, you're done?
Yeah, so that body triangle is very different, difficult. Now that I'm lighter, I can actually do it to people, like 170 and below. So when someone body triangles you, you have to kind of turn into the foot that's locked behind the leg. And from there, you've got to try to turn into the person's guard. But if the person is, you know what a bar arm is in collegiate wrestling, where they're like basically going under your armpit and they hold on to your wrist? Well, that prevents you from turning into him, and Gordon kept controlling that. I don't know if you saw Gavel trying to bite his wrist when Gordon was trying to choke over his face. But, it's very difficult to deal with on a guy who knows what he's doing. Like, you know, even me, if I get, you know, a high-level guy in a body triangle, there's a slight chance he's going to be able to get out. It's just a very dominating position.
Yeah, and it kind of, you know, not that people knew it was over, but once he had it, well, even Gordon himself, he said, I knew once I got on top, that was it. He was just going to be fighting.
Yeah.
You know? And once I got the body triangle and had the arm trapped, he goes, in my mind, I was thinking, that's it, brother. He's just going to gas. And then once I get my chance, I'm going to get him, you know, which he did. So it's just, you know, how would you beat this guy? I mean, it's like he's got it all, especially now. He's got the strength. He's, you know, he's got the cardio. He's got, and we talked about this before. You were saying with John Donaher or whatever, he, you know, there's a specific different way that they do their jiu-jitsu or whatever. So, but, you know, between us, is there an answer or what will we do?
My honest opinion, I've had some friends make fun of me for saying I'm on Gordon, you know what, or whatever. Because I study all his stuff, man, especially his guard passing. Right now, I don't think no one can beat him, not while he's in his prime. not until he starts to slow down. But, you know, I have a student who's a chiropractor, a personal trainer, doctor, very smart guy. He's actually the reason behind my success. He taught me that weight loss and all this stuff is mental. It's more mental than anybody knows. Anyway, we were talking about that, and we watched a podcast where Gordon was talking about he trained by, like, isometric muscles. So, for instance, if he's doing a curl, he's not just going fast. He's holding it. He's squeezing the curl because when you're body locking someone and you're squeezing someone, it's the squeeze that's going to be fatiguing. It's not just the fact that you can hold the person. So he got, you know, he got the weight loss. He got the physical training, the, like, structure training down pat. Then he has Danaher who study videos. They study strategy. Like, the guy can call, like I told you last time we talked, he can call out what he's going to finish high-level black belts with. You know, I consider myself halfway decent in jiu-jitsu, and I go against purple belts, and I can't really predict what I can pass their guard, but I don't know if I'm going to finish them or what I can finish them with. But this guy's doing it with the top-level black belts. It's like, how do you do that? Like, that's 20 years plus of training, man. I can't wrap my thoughts around. I'm being 100% honest with you.
It's amazing. It's amazing that he could do that. He went against one guy. I can't remember his name, but it was the betting line was not if he's going to submit him, but how many times he could submit him in a certain amount of time or something like that. When you get to that level, especially against high level guys like that, I mean it's just amazing. I see it and I'm like, dude, how can I mean, I guess, you know, from training and being able to do it every day, and that's your job, and, you know, you're working at it, it gets there, but it just seems like he's just on that different level, and a lot of that, would you say, is contributed to the way they, Danaher and him, well, they used to call it the Danaher Death Squad, the way they it's funny, because Danaher talks, and he says, well, if they do this, and it seems like it's a different type of thing, but when you get down to it, you know, grappling jiu-jitsu is jiu-jitsu, right? It's just they're coming at it from a different way, and he's applying it, and that's what's making it where he's at?
I would say there is a big difference between gi jiu-jitsu and no gi jiu-jitsu. Some people are going to tell you that it's not, but I think it is. I think they're the best at no-gi. I think they approach everything. I mean, the grips, setups. Like, Danaher, if you listen to his videos, he's thinking about, like, angles. He almost looked at jiu-jitsu like it's geometry. And it's a different level. So they do everything right. They got high-level people training. My main thing is I want to know how hard do they train, and I want to know how is he able to train this hard for so long. Because if you heard of Gaval in his post interview, he was saying that, you know, he tore his ACL or his meniscus. And that's kind of something I'm dealing with now because I started wrestling in 2000, and I never stopped grappling until now. You know, my lower back is feeling it, my arms, my elbows. And like I said, I'm not taking anything, so recovery is my main concern. So I want to know how he's able to, you know, work out this much and train and not get hurt and not get fatigued. But then on the flip side, he says that he's not 100% because of those stomach things he has. And I believe him from the way he talks, you know. Now, just imagine, this guy walked through his division, the open division, and still walked through the super fight division. Like, this is legendary. Like, people can say, this is not normal, man. Like,
yes.
Who else has done this? I don't know anyone who's done this.
Yeah, that's what I'm amazed with. You know, and he's not like saying, I'll do this to all the purple belts or something. It's like the top-level guys, this is what I'm going to do, and he applies it, and it's just like there's nothing you can do. It's just amazing, but it's just cool to see that. You know what I mean? It's like, man, this guy's so dominant, so who's going to be next? But it's funny that you say that too, because I follow, you know, you say, you know, I follow their stuff or read their books or whatever. So do I. I you know, Flow Grappling, I'm on their stuff, and I see all the lead up to it. And he went to go see one of his guys, Gordon did, against Wagner Rocha. And somebody came up to him and said, hey, bro, I really would like to come and train, blah, blah, blah. He goes, dude, nothing for nothing, but there's a waiting list, and if you can get in within the next 5 months, you'd be lucky or whatever. But it's like, dude, even if you want to get in on it and train, there's a waiting period, and it's just amazing that it's gotten, you know, to that level. Wagner Rocha, too, when I saw him, that dude looked in shape, too. I'm like, man, it is. And I always go back to this because when we first, the first super fight we saw Heat on Gracie went against somebody. Was it Durango High in Las Vegas or whatever? I can't remember who we fought, but they had the Grappler's Quest, you know, at the beginning, and we were covering that for Tap Out, and I remember seeing Hermes Franca was smoking a cigarette. He had his gi on with his black belt and everything, and he was smoking a cigarette before he went on to the mat. So I'm thinking, dude, and it's come so far from there. You know, now you wouldn't even think of seeing somebody doing that because they have, you know, like I said, man, strength and conditioning coaches now and stuff like that. So it's just amazing to see how far it's come, and it's just continuing. What I'm glad to see is that John's, you know, really making that concerted effort, man, to get it out there because, to me, and you know how you say, you talk about Gordon and I watch him and blah, blah. That's the same what I do with John Thomas, only because he implements a lot of that wrestling into it. You know, shoots that leg, you know, that we even had it on our on-the-mat thing where, you know, show Tyke shoots that fast double leg and gets him down and stuff like that. So do you still take a wrestling class or work on your wrestling or whatever while you're getting ready for that?
Yeah, so what I do is, like, when I teach my classes, we always start on the feet in my program, and then I got a couple of wrestlers, like one of my students, Jack, and then I got other friends that drop by. We always start with wrestling, and in that Fight to Win fight, one of the reasons I did so well was my student, Jack, same height, short, stocky guy. We were just banging out in Anaconda Academy, just nonstop, man, just in each other's faces wrestling. I'm getting to a point now where, you know, I call it blue-collar grappling because I still work as well. So I have to be selective on who I train with. You know, a lot of these young guys want to prove a point. They want to come out and try to claim some more of the stuff. So I'm getting to a point now where I just let the ego go, and I got to be a little more selective on who I train with. Because Father Time, I still feel is undefeated.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this before we get out of here, because I'm running up against the clock. I should book it for more time or whatever because I have so many questions. You know, I coached wrestling for 6 years, and I really enjoyed it. I really did a lot. If I had my choice, I wish I could retire right now and from my regular job and go coach or whatever. But where I had the most problems, and hopefully John can help me on this, is to keep – okay, I always wanted to coach freshman, sophomore. The freshman sophomore class, because they were a little more like a lump of clay that you can mold and to wear the way you want them. But once these seniors, you know, when I was working with the varsity, they're, you know, 17, some of them are 18 years old, they're looking for the girls. One time we had weigh-ins at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there was four of them that I couldn't find. I'm like, where did these guys go or whatever? The tournament started at 9 o'clock. They got there at about 8:40. They had went to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles and ate that, you know, after that, and they were so slow and everything after that. So I had a lot of trouble keeping those guys focused. So, you know, what's the key? Because I didn't want to be too hard on them, and I didn't want to be too easy on them. You kind of get what I'm saying? So is there a middle ground or whatever? How would you approach that?
I'm going to be like 1,000% honest with you. I'm still trying to figure that point out. I know with teenagers, when you talk about a teenage male, girls partying, that's just life, you know what I mean? There's not very little you can do to train that unless they're just super dedicated. I'll be honest with you, I have students now, they're 23, 24, 25, and they'll wait, hopefully they're not listening, they'll wait to cut weight 10, 12 pounds the week of the tournament. And I tell them, when you did that last time, how did you feel when you went to go compete? Oh, I felt bad, I felt terrible. Okay, well, how do you think you're going to feel this time? Oh, I feel bad and terrible. And then guess what happens the very next tournament? It's the same thing. And I used to be the same way. It wasn't until I got to a certain age where I realized, like, you got to learn how to, like, address your own issues, right? And if you can't do that, it's hard for anybody else to do it. So, like I said, the guy, Matt, that I work with, he was telling me, you know, when you do something wrong or you mess up, you need to write it down and then ask yourself, what could you have done positive and what did you actually do? And that was, like, a game changer for me. So to back to answer your question, in life, there's just some people that are just going to do what they want to do. And as a coach or as a parent, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do about it, but just try to tell them, like, you did this, how did you feel? If you would have did the right thing, how do you think you would have did? How do you think you would have performed? And then just try to make a deal with them and say, hey, one day I want you to do it the right way, and let's see how your performance is, and we're going to document it. You know, I think that's the only thing you can do, as far-fetched as that.
Yeah. Yeah, and let me give you this scenario. I was my first year in coaching or whatever, and they killed the wrestling gets no love. Football, baseball, they get everything. Basketball, they get all the stuff in high school. So Coach Thompson had a big 12-passenger van, and we were taking some kids to a tournament, and I made the mistake of sitting back there with them, and the farts and the BO was ridiculous. And I'm telling them, stop. And they're laughing. I go, Coach, I can't. I go, you know what? If I was a hot chick, you wouldn't be farting like that. They're like, you're right, Coach, you're right. You know, and everything. So I went up front, and I told Coach Thompson, I said, man, you see what's going on? Back then, he goes, that's why we sit up front. And he goes, you're the dumbass who sat back there. So I learned my lesson as I progressed. But it's, you know, to me, it's the greatest sport in the world because it gives them structure, you know, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, stuff like that. It gives them structure, and it reflects even on, you know, the schoolwork and stuff like that. So that's why I wish I could go back. But anyways, John, hey, man, a million thank yous for coming on. I'm so sorry. I got to book more time next time so we can talk a little bit more. So for the people listening to us, if you put John Thomas in your little search engine or whatever he comes to be, I highly suggest that you follow him because he's always showing, you know, where he's training at and what's coming up. And, you know, it's just good to follow so you can check it out. I'm definitely – maybe one of these days, John, when you on a weekend, on a Saturday or Sunday, you can meet us back over there at the local grind in Long Beach so we can get you a new shirt.
Sounds good. Let me know, and I'll make it happen, man. And once again, I appreciate being on the show. Anytime, let me know.
I gotta get back up there so that I can film a couple of more things or whatever so we can put those up on the mat as well. So I'll definitely be in touch. So for the people listening, make sure you check out John Thomas. John, I'll see you real soon. All right, my man?
All right, take care, my man. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, man. Hey, I always appreciate having you on, man. I'll talk to you soon. We'll be right back after this, everybody. John Thomas, make sure you check him out.
Lucha-Masks.com by Pro Wrestling Revolution, bringing you, in partnership with Mask Republic, the Lucha Brothers, as well as Japanese legend Ultimo Dragon. Go to Lucha-Masks.com and fight Lucha Strong with masks from your favorite Lucha legends and Pro Wrestling Revolution luchadores. Stay safe in style and represent your favorite luchador. Get yours now at lucha-mask.com, powered by Pro Wrestling Revolution.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited luchacentral.com, it's time to do it. Luchacentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Oh, shoot, that's an international call. Hold on a second. God darn it. I'm going to have to take one more commercial, everybody. Hold on, please.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world. From weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
Unfortunately, that's an international number for our next guest. So I gave him the call-in number. So hopefully he's going to go ahead and call in on that number because it's always good to have him on there. Sorry about that. If not, If not, we will call him on this other number here. Hang on a second. Let me just put that number in real quick here. Information. Sorry about that. Live radio, everybody. Let me try it again here. I'm going to go. Hold on a second here. Sorry, instead of taking your commercial, you're just going to be live with me for a second. Sorry about that, everybody. 2514. All right, let's try this here real quick. Let's see if that works. Because Scotty's, I guess he must be back out.
Hi, this is Scott. I'm frequently out of the country, and my phone doesn't ring through.
Hold on, let me send him a message real quick here. Calling on the 310 number, if you can, pick it up. Try that number again. Went straight to voicemail. Nothing like live radio.
Hi, this is Scott. I'm frequently out of the country, and my phone doesn't ring through, so please leave a voicemail.
Okay, I'm going to try it one more time here.
Hi, this is Scott. I'm frequently out of the country, and my phone doesn't...
All right, back to a commercial. I got to set this up here. Let me just...
Hey everyone, it's Denise Salcedo here in Lucha Central Central with a reminder of where and when to catch your favorite shows each week or when to try a new one. This past Sunday, Jerry Villagrana presented a Spanish episode of Photo Versus on the Lucha Central Facebook page, and he went mano a mano with Mexico's Black Terry Jr., looking at some of their favorite photos of mid-match lucha dives. Even if you don't speak Spanish, you are going to want to check out this video from this one and see some of the best Lucha Libre photography on the planet. Tune in Sundays at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern for more each week. This coming Sunday, Jerry will be joined by the photographer known as Speedy as they talk working their way from shooting the indies to the majors and some of their favorite photos of indie talent now in AEW. On Tuesdays, on Mass, and Mayhem, of course there will be talk of Lucha Underground Season 1, Episode 14, which you can go watch right now on Tubi.tv for free. But this week, there's also lots of ups and downs over AEW Raw Underground and the use of former Lucha Underground stars Karrion Kross and Santos Escobar, along with his Legado del Fantasma. Plus, Casey unboxes the new Mr. T, WWE Elite figure, and more. Check out the premiere video stream every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Lucha Central YouTube channel and at luchacentral.com. Then listen to it on your favorite podcast platform every Wednesday. This Tuesday night, live on WrestleBossLive.com, Bobby Chulo is back to talk pro wrestling and MMA. First, cheerleader Melissa joins the show to talk working as Mariposa on Lucha Underground, being a women's wrestling trailblazer, and the state of women's wrestling today. Then jiu-jitsu black belt Richard Arreola stops by to talk to Abu Dhabi Combat Club, the world's top grappling comp.
Hey, Scotty, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hold on one second. Real quick for the people listening to this, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live. My fault. I totally sent Scotty the wrong number. I put 860 instead of 870, so that was my fault. But on the line with us right now, somebody I've been trying to get on for so long because he's such a busy man, Scotty. Now, so Scotty, how are you, my friend? Are you back in Mexico or are you still in Las Vegas?
Yeah, man. Just back in, doing the thing, eating some tacos, waiting for you to come visit me.
Well, dude, it's funny because I was just getting ready to go on live, and, you know, I was going through my stream and stuff to see if there was any news, and Joe Rogan and Eddie were talking about the stem cells and everything, and, man, they put it over big time. There must really be something to it because Eddie was like, dude, I got it in my shoulder. He goes, and within weeks, 100%, man, he goes, I'm like a new man and everything. So I'm like, dude, you know, great. The people, when those two talk about it, you know, it's got to be huge. But I got to tell you, man, I had to get you on the show to talk about the Abu Dhabi's. And I had John Thomas on earlier when we were talking a little bit about Seth Daniels and stuff like that. And I knew that it was going to be huge because of Galvao and Gordon Ryan. But, you know, after it was all over and I saw the clips and stuff, dude, I could not believe how huge that it actually was. So you actually being there, get, real quick, give us a little, like, brief synopsis of how it was, because it seemed like it was on another level this time.
I mean, it was on a completely different level. It was amazing for me. I did the first jiu-jitsu tournament ever in Las Vegas in 2001. And to see what Seth and Mo did this year at the Thomas and Mack, they sold over 11,000 tickets. It was packed all the way till 11:30 at night. I mean, the matches were crazy. I mean, I got to take my hat off to those guys. What they, the effort, the time, the money, everything they put into the sport of jiu-jitsu is unbelievable.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, I didn't ever think that it would get there. I know Abu Dhabi, that's the epitome, man. That's where you want to be or whatever when you're a grappler. But to see the stage that it was on and what they put into it, and now, you know, Galvao and Gordon Ryan had been, you know, supposed to go at it a while back or whatever. And I think, do you think personally that had a lot to do with it because of the anticipation for them finally meeting up? Had a lot to do with it, and were you surprised that, I don't want to say easy because nothing's easy, but how Gordon was able to handle Galvao?
Well, you know, Abu Dhabi, it's been a huge tournament since the 90s, so of course the stars are always there. Andre, you know, and Gordon Ryan, two of the biggest stars in the sports ever, so of course they helped sell tickets, but you know, the Rotolo brothers, some of the other guys that were on there, Gary Tonin, Lovato, you know, it's going to be a star-studded event every ADCC. It always has been. And I think Seth and Mo, the, you know, just how much they love the sport and how they care about what happens in the sport, you know, they pushed it to a whole new level.
Yeah, and it shows a lot of how much, you know, how much Seth loves the sport because his son had a football game, and I think he, as soon as he left the football game, he went straight, you know, to the Thomas and Mack, and you know, getting stuff together. You know, I've had him on the show before, and just to do the WNO, you know, who's number one and stuff like that. He talked about what it takes to put this stuff together, and it was a lot. I mean, he's got a crew and he's got a team that has to do this and that, but to do it, you know, five times higher in this setting where they had everything or whatever, must have been, what's the word I'm looking for? You, as somebody who's been in the business
incredible
for such a long time. Yeah, exactly. It had to be like, dude, I'm so happy that it's came to this point or whatever, because it really shows, you know, where it's gone and how good it's become or whatever. But with that being said, we were trying to talk about and figure out with John and I about, you know, Gordon, he's just on a different level, and I was like, I waited for everything to come out on Flow Grappling so that I could see it, but when he got him in that body triangle and had that arm trapped with the triangle, you know, is there a way out of that? Because it seemed like once he got him in that position, it was just like, that's it. He's just going to tire out, and when he gets tired out, you know, he's mine, and that's it. Because you only have one hand to fight with. Is there a way out of that? Or do you just have to wait and when Gordon loosens up and try to turn into it? Or what's the escape?
I don't think there's an escape when Gordon Ryan does it, when mere mortals do it. But you know what's really crazy is that 2001, first ever jiu-jitsu tournament we did in Las Vegas, BJ Penn fought Mike Cardoso and did the same move where he trapped his arm from the back, just exactly like that. So it's pretty crazy that same technique, two of the best Americans to ever step on the mat, same technique.
Yeah, I've seen that before from him, but it just seemed like, it was just amazing. I really wish I would have went. And, you know, I not that I blew it off.
I wish you would have gone too.
I really would like to check that out. And then because I had been following it on Flow Grappling and seeing the buildup and what, you know, because these guys all have strength and conditioning coaches now, and they really, you know, it's on another level. And I you know, Cade Ruotolo being the youngest kid to win the Abu Dhabis or whatever, just so much went on. And speaking of that, you know, Rafael Lovato retired. Now, is he just retired from no-gi grappling, or is he going to stay in the gi, or is he done completely?
Well, you know, he just had two kids. He had twins with his wife. And, you know, he might take some super fights down the road, but I think he's really dedicated to being an amazing dad and spending time with his kids. I hope he hasn't completely retired. He's definitely retired from doing Abu Dhabi. But as far as, like, the gi and everything competition-wise, you know, we'll see. It's hard for a guy that grew up on the mat like Rafael did to completely walk away. So, hopefully we'll see some super fights stuff down the road for him, but you know, he's 40 years old now, and like us old guys know, you got Cade Ruotolo, 19 years old, you know.
Yeah.
When I was 40, I couldn't keep up with any 19-year-old.
Yeah, that was amazing. Well, you know, and plus the kids are young. Once the kids get a little bit older or whatever, you get that bug, you know, and it's like, and you go back to training hardcore or whatever, and you're like, dude, I think, you know, I'm in shape. I'm going to go ahead and try. So I think that's what's going to happen. Once kids get a little bit older, he's going to say, I think, you know, I got, especially him, man, in the gi. I mean, that guy is amazing. So I hope he doesn't either. I hope he'll, later on down the line, take a couple of super fights or whatever back then, because he was, you know, we've talked about it on this show before when we first went over to On the Mat and went to the Jiu-Jitsu Expo. Somebody didn't show up, so Lovato did a seminar, and Sergio and I went to go check it out, and it was amazing, and the nicest guy in the world too. So I too hope that comes from there. But anyways, besides that, real quick, man, I gotta tell you, you know, I've had Seth Daniels on this show before, and the dude tells it like it is. There's that guy's 100%, keeps him 100. He came on the show and he said, hey, look, man, if you're going to be taking PEDs or whatever, I'm just going to open up the playing field. You know, because it's not fair that these guys from Brazil can do this type of stuff or whatever and then come up against guys from here or whatever. He said, so I'm not going to test anybody anymore. You know, this is it. If you want to do it, it's on you. That levels the playing field. Do you think that was the answer? You know, level the playing field, or do you think they should? Because once you get USADA and stuff in there, it's a different ball game. So give me your thoughts on that real quick, because he came on the show and said, I'm not testing anybody, level playing field, that's the answer. You kind of, and I kind of agree with that. I got to kind of agree with that. What do you think about that?
I mean, I'll give the same answer I give every time someone asks me this question. If you're having heart problems and your professional heart surgeon could take a PED to make sure that your surgery went better, would you want them to take it or not? I mean, these guys are professional athletes. There's doctors out there that monitor all of this. And, you know, if that's what they want to do as a professional, you know, as long as it's monitored by a doctor and people's health is kept in mind, I think they should be able to do it. It's much safer that way than just having people try to do it, you know, without a doctor monitoring it or trying to hide it or something like that. So,
yeah, that's kind of what Seth said. If you're going to do it, at least, you know, have it monitored so that you're safe or whatever, and it evens out the playing field or whatever. So, you know, that was his thought on it. And I kind of said, yeah, man, I got to agree. I think you should, you know, level the playing field and let it go from there. But it was just amazing, the whole thing or whatever. And it, when, you know, I follow Scotty on all his social media, and it just looked like a good time. You know, you ran into Hanzo and you got to talk to him for a little while and ran into so many people that you haven't seen for such a long time. So it seems like that's that jiu-jitsu family, right?
That was old school, yeah. There was a lot of my old friends there, people that I trained with in Brazil. You know, it was awesome. Enzo, then Mario, got to hang out with Mark Kurz, you know, a bunch of really good people there.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why I wish I would have went now, because there's so many people gather, you know, and all that. It was like the Jiu-Jitsu Expo. We saw so many people and got to talk to them and all that. It was really cool. So, real quick for the people, listeners, you're here. You're at WrestleBoss Live with Bobby Chulo, and I'm talking to Scott Nelson, talking a little bit about the Abu Dhabis and what it was like to, you know, to see it in person and check it out. But now you personally, you know, I know your plate's full. You got so much going on, especially with the Chispa and everything like that. What's the future for yourself as far as, like, on the mat for, you know, the I know you'll never leave the grappling, you know, world or whatever, but is there anything, you know, towards the future, you're going to be bringing anything back as far as, like, maybe sponsoring a fighter or bringing back maybe another shop or anything like that? Because I honestly miss it more. I'm 57 years old, and I miss that, I can honestly say. And when I talk to Sergio, he says the same thing. You know, when we had the Las Vegas on the mat, we didn't even have to book anybody. We were just there, and people would come, and we, you know, it was all a good time. Anything like that in the future? You think you're kind of done with that, or put it on the back burner because you got so much going on?
Well, you know, I'm just I'm winding up the lawsuit that kept me from being able to do on the mat the way I wanted it to. I'll never do another retail store again. I don't. Amazon killed that. The internet killed that. But I do plan to come back and do some good stuff. But you know, now with the stem cell company, with Cellular Performance Institute, you know, we get to heal up the same guys we used to sponsor to fight. I got Nick Diaz down here this week. Ian Hurricane Heinz is down here from the UFC. You know, Lovato comes down. Eddie Bravo comes down. A bunch of different guys. So. I'll, you know, we're just sponsoring them in a different way.
And they all have good things to say about it. You know what I mean? Everything I see on the social media, like, man, they really take care of us. They even, you know, took us to San Diego, then picked us up the next day and took us over. You know, we didn't even really have to do anything. They took care of us or whatever. So I highly recommend it. But the reason I say that is because, you know, when the pandemic first hit and we kind of had to pull the plug on the mat for a little while, so many people called, like Ed Sorres and Kenny Johnson and people like that, like, dude, are you going to bring it back? What's happening? Or what all that? Well, tell us what we need to do. Do we need to call Scotty? Or what? I'm like, no. You know, we could do it. But it was just like the family was like, dude, we'll bring it back. Well, let me know what we need to do to help you or whatever. So that, to me, you know, is like what it's all about. You know what I mean? And everybody, not just to put Scotty over because he's on with us, but people like that, Ed Sorres, Kenny Johnson, are like, hey, man, if Scotty needs anything, just let us know. We want to make sure that, you know, we bring anything back or whatever he needs or whatever. So that, to me, is like the epitome of the jiu-jitsu family. You know what I mean? You kind of get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Those guys are great guys. We've had years worth of support from people. And, yeah, whenever you want to bring On the Mat Radio back, you just hit me up and let me know, and let's do it.
Dude, that's all everybody talks about out this way, out in the South Bay or Long Beach area or whatever. Like, dude, you should bring it back and have this person on. I'm like, yeah, we're working on it. But I'm going to give you a call off the air one of these days because I kind of got something else going on that might conflict, which I hope it doesn't or whatever, so I just got to bend your ear on that. But just to this day, people still talk about that, talk about On the Mat and, you know, the podcast and, you know, Rafael Lovato Jr. and how it was such a huge, like even Meta Morris, they talk about when he was fighting out there and stuff like that. So I definitely, that's one thing, want to make sure that we keep that going, man, because that flame still burns. But anyways, for the people listening to us, if you want to check out Scotty Nelson, you can check him out on his social media at under Scott Nelson, as well as what's the social media website for the Chispa?
Oh, yeah, so we're for the Cancer Hospital, it's chispahospital.org or at chispahospitalofficial. For the stem cell clinic, it's cellularperformanceinstitute.com or at CPI stem cells. So, and you can always get me personally on my Instagram at ScottyOTM.
Scotty OTM. Okay, perfect. I'll make sure I give those when we get the heck out of here. Hey, man, a million thank yous for coming on. I know you got so much going on, but it was just amazing to see all that Abu Dhabi and how far it's come or whatever. So I really appreciate you taking the time to come. I talk to Sergio all the time. He's like, dude, when are we going to go out there to teach or whatever? But, you know, we're old, man. We're working and stuff like that. It's hard to get the time off, but Sergio's like, dude, tell Scotty we're going to make a concerted effort to get out there just to visit. Don't have to do anything, just to come visit, eat some tacos, and shoot the shift from back in the day. So we'll definitely be seeing you soon. All right, my man?
All right. Let me know. Come see your favorite gringo in Tijuana.
Absolutely. Hey, Scotty, a million thank yous for coming on, man. I really appreciate it, and we'll see you soon. All right, my friend?
All right. Appreciate you guys. Thank you. Take care.
All right, bro. Talk to you soon. Scotty Nelson, everybody. Make sure you check him out. We'll be right back after this.
If you're listening to this and you haven't visited LuchaCentral.com, it's time to do it. LuchaCentral.com is the online home for Lucha Libre, where you can get all of the top news in English and in Spanish. Find the best curated video content and original content not seen anywhere else. Find when Lucha Libre events would be happening in your area. Find photo galleries from top photographers covering Lucha Libre around the world, and a place to have their voices heard from weekly polls to annual awards. Seen and read by top executives in all of the major Lucha Libre promotions across the globe. And on top of that, it's free. LuchaCentral.com, your centralized place for all things Lucha Libre.
You are listening to the Lucha Central Podcast Network. And now, WrestleBot with Bobby Chulo.
Man, even though I've been doing this for so long, you know, I try to give them so much time, and then I start talking, and I look at the clock, and I'm like, dude, I'm running up against the clock or whatever. But big ups to John Thomas for coming on, and, of course, Scott Nelson, who I've worked for years and really keeps, even though he's got other things going on, keeps that jiu-jitsu grappling going, man. If you need help, man, he'll help you out if you're trying to get to that promised land or whatever. He did it for us. He did it for Sergio and I, the Unholy, for 7 years. You know what I mean? So good to have him on. And, of course, John Thomas, that's who I go to all the time when I got stuff, that information that I need and stuff like that. And the guys from the Anaconda Academy, of course, Giovanni and them for sure. So hopefully we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Michael Parks was out of town, so we can get back to talk a little bit about the luchas and stuff like that. So much going on in the lucha world. So glad to see Máscara Dorada doing well out there, and Black Darus and those guys doing well out there. It's awesome to see the luchadores getting some mainstream pub or whatever. So we'll try to get that going and talk about that next week. But until then, we'll see everybody next week right here on WrestleBoss Live. Thanks, everybody.